poverty. We think it's a lack of money, but for me, it's a lack of a discernible life. There was a time when I would sit on a pin and I wouldn't notice. Today I sleep on a pile of mattresses 20 thick and the pee feels like a cannonball. I lost my virginity on a bathroom floor devoid of any sensation. My most intimate relationship and my mentor when it came to how to pleasure a woman with the peas hiding under my father's side of the mattress. Later, the computer became my guide, pornographic pictures pommeling my palate like plutonium. Thinking about my old life, I see the Narnian wardrobe. I feel schizophrenic rambling on about a world that no longer exists. I remember flying high and writing "There's no place like home" on the side of the H-bomb and then cutting the rope. Boom. Burnt toast, a lamb roast, a head through a window, blood dripping on my bright white Nikes, a grazed grin caught in the shards. A milk crate on top of a car, white blood spilling into the gutter. What a nutter. Naked in the middle of a lawn bowls competition, handstands, a hand on the doorknob of temptation, the twist, the guilt, the pain. Showering the bartender, fighting the bartender, fighting the bouncer who is friends with the bartender, the bucket, blue, white paint, yellow bile tinged with blood. Broken factory window, skinless knuckles wrapped around the brick, a mother calling me a prick. Zombified children are sitting on the settee playing Pokemon while parents get fucked up in another world. A woman is struggling to put shoes on a baby. A man shows her how it is done. A child lies in bed, shouting to his parents because he wants to go poo. The silent screams of two worms drowning in a home battered by sprinklers with nothing but blackbirds in the baking sun waiting to greet them. A job you hate. A strange woman. Late. Spots. Blood clots. Dots. English, Welsh, Irish and the Scots. The life of someone lost in the fog of alcoholism is a crazy thing. The things I used to do in my time bordered on the insane to the mundane, a life inert through ball and chain. Enough, enough, enough pain. Striver Brad asks, what wonderful things can I do with my time without alcohol? And that's what we talk about in today's podcast. My name is Lee Davey. I am not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I am someone that doesn't drink alcohol. And I spend every waking moment helping other people do the same. Enjoy.
Welcome to another episode of the Alcohol Addiction Podcast. My name is Lee Davey. I'm not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I'm someone that doesn't drink alcohol and spends every waking moment of my life helping other people do the same. Going to answer a question from Brad. Brad has just recently joined the Truth About Alcohol email list over at www.thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk. And Brad asks, what are all the wonderful things we can do with the time that we get when we become people that don't drink alcohol? Okay, so as you know, with my podcast, nothing is ever rehearsed. So I'm going to have to just go with this one off the top of my head, Brad. I guess these things are going to be very, very personalized, aren't they? Because we're all interested in different things. But I will share with you, you know, what I do in my time, what I've done with my time in the last 9 years. And then maybe you can pick out of the bones something that you might be able to implement in your own life. So, what did I do with my time? The first thing I did with my time, Brad, which was a really super duper wonderful thing for me, although it didn't feel like it going through the process, was placing a more analytical eye, a more present and acutely aware eye on my relationships. So when I became someone that doesn't drink alcohol, I changed from being someone who just assumed that I was going to be with my wife for eternity to being someone that asked the question, am I going to be with this person for eternity and why? Right? So the first thing I would say that was really beneficial for me was being aware enough, because the fog had lifted, to to start asking some really challenging questions around my primary relationship with my partner as to why we weren't getting along, why I felt so lonely, why I felt so sad, why I felt so unloved, and then taking steps to do something about that. In my case, those steps led to a divorce, but in anybody else's cases, they could lead to the same thing, or they can lead to rebuilding a very, very promising marriage that has just kind of wilted under the pressure of drinking alcohol, too much alcohol. So that was one of the things I did in my time. The other thing that immediately springs to mind is asking the same kind of questions around your career, your vocation, or your job, whichever one you have. So there's a brilliant video by Elizabeth Gilbert that we talk about in the intensive, and you can find it online on YouTube, where Elizabeth Gilbert talks about the difference between having a job, a career, and a vocation, and why it's okay to have all three of them. And at a time when I was drinking alcohol, Brad, I had a job, right? I was a railwayman. I mean, actually, you could call it a career, because I identified with myself as being a railwayman, and I had a goal of becoming the CEO, right? So, and again, in the same ways that I never really questioned whether or not my marriage was the right, my partner, my ex-wife was the right person to spend the rest of my life with, I just, you know, I'd said my vows and I was married and that was that. It was the same with my choice of career. I never ever questioned whether or not it was the right thing for me to do. And particularly around this time when I became someone who doesn't drink alcohol, you know, you remember I was 2009, and 2007, 2008 was when we had the economic crisis. I went through a really torrid time in work, having to sack people, ruin people's lives. It was a really difficult time. And in 2009, when I stopped drinking alcohol, suddenly, because of that fog's lifted, and because of the courage and the confidence that you gain from not drinking alcohol, because alcohol actually takes that away from you. So if you're not drinking it, it's not taking it away from you. So at the very least, your confidence and your courage levels aren't decreasing. Mine increased tremendously. I was then able to say to myself, well, holy shit, why am I doing this? Like, why am I a railwayman? What is the point? Does my goal of wanting to become the CEO still exist? Why? If it does, and what else could I put in its place if it doesn't? And I realized, and it came down to the brass tacks, that the only reason I actually worked on the railway is because of money and security. So I was just working really hard all the time, just because I wanted more and more money to provide me with more and more security, to provide me with more and more materialistic things so I could increase my status amongst the Joneses, etc., etc. And that wasn't good enough for me. So I filled my time that not drinking alcohol gave me with ways of looking for an alternative. So first thing I did was I joined the Jack Canfield Success Principles, and one of the first life coaching course. And one of the things that I would strongly suggest to you, Brad, and anybody else listening to this, is when you become someone that doesn't drink alcohol, spend some money increasing your growth in whatever area you feel you need to increase that growth, whether that's in health, wellness, whether that's in your mind, whether that's in your job, your career, or a particular vocation you're interested in. Choosing your time to increase your emotional intelligence, your health and your well-being, your spirituality, all of those things I would never think about when I was drinking alcohol, because the two just don't go together. Normally it's dogs that are interrupting me today. We have a murder of crows. Wonderful. So yeah, spend your time really analysing what it is you do for a living. You're going to be spending 80,000 hours or more in that role. It's something that we cover comprehensively in the Freedom module of the intensive, because it's super important if you're going to be spending 80,000 hours. doing something, that it has to be something that lights your fire, right? And if you're drinking alcohol, you're probably not even thinking about that. You're just getting through every day, right? Like, you're not even thinking these deeper, meaningful, not asking these deeper, meaningful questions. What else happened to me? Well, I spend more time playing with my children. I don't spend as much time playing with my children as I like, because I spend a lot of time outside of earning money writing poker articles, doing things like this for people like you, Brad. But I do spend more time with my children than I ever did when I was a drinker. And the time that I do spend with them is really, really maximized, because I'm far more present. So I'm not drunk playing around with them. I'm not fiddling around on my mobile phone playing around with them, not on my computer playing around with them. I am done, and then I'm just with them. I'm just there, present for them, being a great dad and loving them. And so I spend my time really playing with my children and learning more about parenting and what it means to be a good father, alongside what it means to be a good husband. So I read a lot about relationship books, not so much parenting, but I did in the beginning when Zia was born, and I spend my time doing those things. I think those are really super important. Okay, what else do I spend my time on now that I don't do when I was drinking alcohol? Meditation. So I would never have even considered meditating when I was drinking, because I was stuck in the old blueprint of life, which would have said that meditating is just a namby-pamby thing that hippies do, and not, you know, people like us do things like this. And back then, as a drinker of alcohol, you're not someone who's going to meditate. So again, taking that dive, facing your fear, and taking a meditation course or joining a meditation retreat, reading and learning about meditation. My first exposure to it was transcendental meditation. Liza and I went to the Welsh teacher's transcendental meditation, her house. Her name is Helen. You can find her on the Alcohol Addiction podcast, where she guested one week. And we learned meditation through her. I read a load of books about TM. And I would say for many, many years, I woke up in the morning and I meditated for 20 minutes, and I put 20 minutes aside in the afternoon for meditation as well. If you read anything by Joe Dispenza, in particular Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, where, you know, it's a phenomenal book which we cover a lot in the intensive, then his meditations stretch out to like an hour a time, maybe 90 minutes. So now if you're doing that every day, there's 90 minutes taken up with meditation. It seems like you're not doing anything, you're like you're wasting your time, especially when your mind is still fixed with the old kind of blueprint. But in truth, and I have definitely found this, over time, over a prolonged period of time, people will see the change in you, all right? In the same way that you stop drinking alcohol and people are like, hey, what's happened to you? When they don't even know you've given up drinking, they could just tell by the glow in your face, okay, and the way that you're behaving. The same thing will happen with meditation. Over time, everything just kind of like balances out, right? So that's pretty cool. And then outside of that, what else? Exercise, obviously, is a really important one. Sleeping more. So if you're like only sleeping 5 or 6 hours a day, now you have the capacity to stretch it out to 8. So that's really important. And just generally reading and finding a hobby or something that really kind of floats your boat, and get stuck into that. You know, one preferably where the community is a community involved, and that community that is involved is less likely to drink. I say less likely because you would think something like a yoga community would be a community where you're going to meet people who are really seriously interested in health, and yet Lululemon, which is like the most popular, trendy, Gucci style kind of like yoga wear for men and women, they created a beer. So it doesn't mean, it's the same in the vegan world, right? So just because you meet someone who's vegan doesn't mean they're healthy, all right? It's the same like in yoga and stuff. So try to find a community where you feel that there's going to be less people going to be drinking. Create your own community where you can stipulate the rules. Maybe you want to create a book club of people who don't drink alcohol. And your topic of conversation is talking about what you do when you don't drink alcohol, okay? That's another thing you could do. The veganism aspect of it was something that was important to me when you start thinking about other ways that you can serve and you can make the planet a better place, how you can improve your own health, how you can challenge and push yourself. And once you get into something like veganism, then there's a lot of reading to be done on that subject. There's a lot of like buying things like supplements and stuff to keep you healthy. So it really depends on your interests and which way you go. A great way, if you're kind of like scratching around for interests, and I'm one of those, Brad, by the way, that when I fill in my morning journal and I have a question, it says, "What are you going to do today? What are you going to do today that excites you?" The things that excite me are things like this. It's not like, "Oh yeah, tonight I'm going to go dancing." It's something that I need to work on. One aspect that you could do that is, I did it like, I spent an incredible amount of time doing this in 2009, not so much lately, maybe I need to kick myself in the ass, is to create a bucket list. Like, what is it that I want to do before I joss it? And instead of just having a list, is actually start making it come a reality. So spending the time cutting up magazines, maybe you want to go to Machu Picchu, well, cut out a copy of Machu Picchu, superimpose a little photograph of yourself on it like you're there and stick it on a vision board, right? I mean, that takes time, but it's fun, it's interesting, it's really compelling thing to do. And then all the organization that goes behind researching how you're going to get to Machu Picchu, how much it's going to cost, where you're going to stay, what else you're going to do when you're there, etc., etc., all takes up time, but it's very interesting time, and it's stuff that's leading to your growth, right? So I hope that was useful to you, Brad. Any questions whatsoever, let me know. One more thing. If you're going to have time on your hands, get over to Strive, because joining a like-minded group and a new community of people is going to be essential when you're figuring out what to do with the rest of your life, okay? Send me a note at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com if you have any more questions on this. Take care.